Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 33 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the kooky, life-loving creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and, as I always say, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com. I hope you all had a super happy Halloween, that you had a lot of fun, or a blessed Samhain, however you want to look at it, a kick-ass Day of the Dead. And I am in a really giggly mood right now because this is the surprise pop-up show that I promised you all on the last episode, and I'm actually nervous. I realize, like, I have made myself a nervous wreck because what I plan to do is to read to you out loud right now on air the introductory section of the new Year in a Day program I created called the Psycho Spiritual Wheel of the Year. And as you may know, if you listen to me, I have a knack for tripping over my tongue and getting a little giggly. So we will see how this goes. I hope that I can get the whole thing in under 30 minutes. I will try to read calmly but quickly so that we can get through this whole thing. And I hope you enjoy. So here goes nothing. Heavy breathing, sweaty palms, heart pounding. All right, I'm just going to read this to you now. I hope you enjoy it. Much love to you. The Psycho Spiritual Wheel of the Year, written and illustrated by Joanna DeVoe. Going in circles. Some people believe that life moves in circles. The Earth spins on its axis and rotates around the sun, giving us a fairly predictable cycle of seasons. The moon orbits the Earth, creating a reliable pattern of darkness and light. Our bodies experience a similar set of cycles, representing a kind of microcosm within the macrocosm of the universe. Both men and women experience monthly hormonal cycles, and we are all biologically influenced by our environment's rhythms of temperature and light. And then, of course, there is the infamous circle of life, I eat you, and you eat me. So yes, on many levels, life does seem to be moving in circles. I appreciate that perspective, but I have another take on it. I feel that life takes shape in a spiral, especially when you consider the progression of your individual life through time. When you examine your own life as you journey through the years, marking another birthday, celebrating another Christmas, it does seem to be circling back around to the same points on the calendar again and again. But are you the same each time? What about your relationships and your environment? Surely things have changed within pop culture or even the government. Change is inevitable, regardless of the date on your wall. We will also revisit the same lessons many times, but each time we experience them, it will be on another level. Our consciousness will have grown. While a wheel is shaped like a circle and our lives do in many ways seem to be moving in a circular fashion, our souls, our hearts, and minds are progressing in a more expansive way. A circle is closed and perfect, but a spiral is infinite and a little more wild. I believe we are infinite beings living a life of infinite possibility. So even as I use the term wheel of the year, I hope that you will keep in mind the dual nature of this piece of symbolism and allow it to contain both the circle and the spiral. Life moves in a spiral which winds ever upward. Each turn of the spiral reaches a plane higher than the last. Yet in an endless world, there is no higher and lower, but a growing within and an ever-expanding sphere. Edward M. Matthews. The Wheel Within. Working with the Wheel of the Year is a special kind of ongoing magic. It is not so much about acting out the old ways as it is about honoring what is happening now, right now, this very moment, inside and all around you. The cycles of our emotional lives are reflected in the changing seasons, the patterns of growth and decay we experience in our relationships and careers, the birth of a new romance, the death of a dream, can be explored through the symbols of nature, which is cycling along right beside us. I personally choose to honor the Wheel of the Year as a psycho-spiritual practice. Psychology has come a long way in recent decades, and thanks to the work of people like Carl Jung, Joseph Campbell, Carolyn Mace, and Debbie Ford, we have begun to understand the ways in which certain psychological techniques can inform our spirituality. Considering the definition of spirituality as the search for the sacred, we can look at psychological techniques like shadow work, positive reinforcement, and scripting as tools that can help us navigate through the challenges we may experience as we carry out that exploration, and we can look at the Wheel of the Year as the map. It's a worthy search, a fascinating expedition, and it can also be a lot of fun. That's what I first experienced when I started experimenting with the traditional pagan Wheel of the Year a few years back. I noticed that in gathering up little bits of nature to bring indoors, decorating my home to reflect the changing seasons, building little bonfires in the backyard, and making celebratory meals to share with my family, that I was having fun. As a person who had lost my religion years ago, it brought back some of my fondest memories of childhood and connected me to my sense of the sacred in a way that I didn't even know I was missing. However, as I progressed in my studies and continuing celebration of the Wheel of the Year, I noticed that the related mythology and stories of how our ancestor used the wheel to honor the gods of old didn't interest me half as much as the little tidbits I would pick up on every now and again about how our inner state is reflected in the outer state of the world around us. And then I became frustrated that there was so little direct information on that aspect of the wheel. That's when I began creating a new wheel of my own making, a wheel that was focused less on the agricultural traditions and myths of old and more on how the seasons were reflected in my own heart and mind. I would also like to acknowledge here that Annie of Mirth and Reverence on YouTube was the first person to ignite this longing in me. She does a lovely job of explaining how the changes in our outer world can reflect and inform the changes in our inner world, and I am grateful to her for helping me make that connection. I just wanted my wheel to have more of a psychological bent than any religious connotation. Even so, it is no less spiritual to me. Life, death, life. It's time to learn more about the insights nature has to offer us. It is here we will find deep wisdom for dealing in the most positive and healthy ways with the changes life will inevitably bring. Carol M. McLeland, PhD. I think that some people are drawn to earth-based religions and concepts like the Wheel of the Year for the same reason that some of us are growing our own groceries, going green, and putting an emphasis on eating more whole foods. We realize that, as a culture, we have effectively separated ourselves from our own natural environment and that we are suffering the consequences. We have become animals in an artificial zoo of our own making, and animals, even sophisticated human animals, do not thrive in a fake environment. They need to be in a somewhat natural setting. Their health and happiness depends on it. That is why so many of us actively seek a connection with Mother Earth. It's alarming to realize that we've practically denatured ourselves and that we're threatening to do the same thing to the planet we inhabit. Separating ourselves from nature by existing primarily in man-made boxes of fluorescent lighting, recycled air, and synthetic materials has given us the illusion of safety and convenience, even while cutting us off from the pleasures of soft, fertile earth squishing between our toes, or an invigorating gust of fresh air twirling in our hair. Microwave technology, cars, cell phones, laptops, Wi-Fi, social media, fast food drive-thrus, and on-the-go coffee has fooled us into thinking that we can do it all and we can do it faster. It's also sent our stress levels through the roof, insomnia, depression, anxiety, chronic fatigue, and a whole host of phobias have become all too common. We are not creatures who can go, go, go without pause. We were designed to ebb and flow and wax and wane, just like the blessed universe we were born into. The death of what is dead is the birth of what is living. Arlo Guthrie. Everything that lives must die in order to live again. The wheel helps us remember that, and in remembering that, we find what we've been searching for. We find the sacred. The sacred can be found in a baby lizard hatching from its egg. It can also be found in the talons of an eagle as it carries that reptile off to its death. It's in the cascade of a waterfall, the burst of color in a dying leaf, and the destruction of a wildfire. Nature is our greatest teacher. It shows us who we are, and following the wheel of the year keeps us in touch with that reality. I recommend that no matter where you are on the wheel, you get yourself a journal, a plain spiral notebook will do, and give yourself a complete year and a day to take pause every 6 weeks or so at every turn of the wheel to note what you're feeling and how that is being reflected in the world around you. I've included journal prompts throughout this program to help that process along. You might also want to start a garden. This is not a program that will be centered around the garden, but it is a metaphor that I will be using throughout. Gardening is a profound way to keep in touch with nature in the life-death life cycle year-round. Its symbolism runs deep into the earth, our ancestry, and your own psyche. And you do not have to own a large plot of land or be an expert gardener to reap the benefits. A small container garden of herbs on a patio will do. Clarissa Pincola Estes wrote in her seminal book, Women Who Run with the Wolves, that she often suggests people start their own gardens in order to get in touch with nature. She says, "The garden is a concrete connection to life and death. You could even say there is a religion of garden, for it teaches profound psychological and spiritual lessons. Whatever can happen to a garden can happen to psyche and soul. The garden is a meditation practice, that of seeing when it is time for something to die. In the garden, one can see the time coming for both fruition and dying back. In the garden, one is moving with rather than against the inhalations and the exhalations of greater wild nature. Through this meditation, we acknowledge that the life-death-life cycle is a natural one." Isn't that beautiful? Getting in touch with the nature outside you is one of the best ways for getting in touch with the nature within you. So is art. As much as I enjoy gardening, I am no expert, not even close. Making art is my primary mode of communication when it comes to expressing and getting in touch with the soul. And so that is what I've chosen to focus on in terms of creating projects that we can all do together as we travel the psycho-spiritual wheel of the year. We will be drawing, writing, meditating, reciting poetry, and brewing some very special healing potions in the kitchen. By the end of this year and a day, I hope that you will not only have had a whole lot of fun, but that you will also have a firm grasp on some of the more practical tools of psychology and how they can inform your spiritual life and contribute to your sense of emotional well-being. I'd also love for you to be able to harness the practices I'm about to share with you in a way that creates some very real, tangible results, helping you to reach some personal goals and overcome a few challenges. I want you to thrive. I want us all to thrive together. The solar year. The traditional wheel of the year is based around the cycles of the sun and our planet's resulting seasons. It typically consists of four festivals, one on each of the solstices and equinoxes known as quarter days, and often includes four additional festivals at the midpoint between those, known as cross-quarter days. For the psycho-spiritual wheel of the year, I have chosen to call the cross-quarter days transitions. They are the transitional periods between seasons and a perfect time to pause for reflection and to do a bit of preparation for the season ahead. So using the garden analogy, winter transition happens between the autumn equinox and winter solstice, bringing closure to the time of harvest and moving us into a period of rest and renewal. Spring transition occurs between the winter solstice and spring equinox, rousing us from our state of rest and encouraging us to begin planting seeds for the year ahead. Summer transition happens between the spring equinox and summer solstice, ushering in a period of growth and expansion. And then autumn transition lands between the summer solstice and autumn equinox, signaling a time for switching gears into the more steady energy of bringing in the year's harvest. Spring passes and one remembers one's innocence. Summer passes and one remembers one's exuberance. Autumn passes and one remembers one's reverence. Winter passes and one remembers one's perseverance. Yoko Ono. The lunar tides. Just as the sun has a profound influence on our planet and our psyches, so too does the moon in its own quiet way. It is quiet but busy, completing 13 cycles to the sun's every one. You can think of the lunar cycle as a symbolic microcosm of the solar year's macrocosm in terms of how it might be reflected inside you. Since science has proven that the moon has a measurable effect on our ocean's tides and that our own bodies are made up primarily of water, it would stand to reason that the phases of the moon have a similar effect in our own lives, altering our moods and energy levels as it travels around our planet. Witches believe that the phases of the moon have a very real effect on the magic they do, and so they time their spells and rituals accordingly. So keeping with the garden analogy we used earlier, the new moon is for planting seeds of intention. The waxing moon is for growth. The full moon is for bringing in the harvest, and the waning moon is for releasing, rest, and renewal. You do not have to be a witch nor believe in magic to benefit from these phases. You can view them as metaphors or touchstones for checking in with yourself. You might instead prefer to work with your body's own monthly cycles, but still the metaphor holds. For example, in a menstruating woman's monthly cycle, the start of her period is symbolized by the new moon, and the weeks after that would reflect the waxing moon, a time when her energy is increasing. At ovulation, she has reached the full moon and the peak of her fertility, with the following weeks seeing a decline in energy just as the moon wanes. I would also like to note that you do not have to be a menstruating woman to benefit from this analogy, and that men too have their monthly hormonal cycles. Soon as the evening shades prevail, the moon takes up the wondrous tale, and nightly to the listening earth repeats the story of her birth. Joseph Addison. Since the 8 modules that comprise the psycho-spiritual wheel of the year are devoted to following the sun cycles and changing seasons, I wanted to be sure to include a small section here about the moon and how it can keep us connected to the bigger picture. In addition to the wheel, I like to work with the modern calendar year, celebrating New Year's Day by making a traditional list of resolutions and setting new intentions for the year ahead. There's just something about that time, a certain buzz that I click into. I then see the wheel, the solar year, as a way of managing those resolutions, and the lunar tides as a way of setting smaller, more attainable goals that serve those bigger intentions along the way. You might choose to do the same. So Let's say you decide that in 2014 you are going to start your own business. On a larger scale, you might section off the solar year accordingly. Spring for setting things up, summer for marketing and growth, autumn for bringing whatever it is you have created to fruition, and winter for reflection. That's all well and good, but there are many smaller tasks that need to take place in order to make your plan a reality, which is where the lunar tides come in. You can use the shorter cycles of the moon to manage those smaller steps you need to take along the way. The same can be said of starting a weight loss plan, getting out of debt, or learning something new. Call it time management by Mother Nature, a kick-ass way to get shit done. Whether you see the moon as a literal goddess, a symbol of fertility, a metaphor for life, or just an awesome time management tool, getting in tune with its energy can touch your life in such a lovely way. That is why I recommend taking time out once a week to look up into the night sky and say a word of prayer, or to at least take a moment of pause to check in with yourself. If it's a new moon, you might want to think about a new intention you'd like to set for the weeks ahead. Write it down, make a visual representation of it, or just say what it is you intend out loud. You can then use the waxing phase of the moon as a reminder to build on that. When the moon is full, you can apply an extra bit of oomph to ensure that what it is you have intended comes into manifestation. You might do this by putting in an extra few hours of effort, or symbolically by casting your own magic spell. When it is done and the moon has begun to wane, you can then rest and trust that the universe has got your back. Poetry, music, and clever rhymes can help drive this process home. They're also handy tools for sharing this way of being with the children in your life. And so I have created for us a special poem to help mark the phases of the moon. You can break it into portions to be said as a prayer at the appropriate time, or you can just enjoy it whole as a groovy little rhyme and my gift to you. So here it is, by the lunar tides. New moon, I see your light growing and focus with your power lent on the energy now flowing, waxing with this pure intent. Here now I match my want and will to make this notion manifest. So it is done, and I am still in faith that it be for the best. Full moon, I feel you at your peak and rise to meet you there. Make manifest this thing I seek, to know, to will, to dare, and by your glowing lamp of light, of night, illuminate my purpose, so my intention will burn bright and kept alight with focus. Dark moon, I sense your mystery in birth beyond this death, and so release old energy with each and every breath. The past is done, and so am I, with things that do not please. I let them go as they pass by like feathers on the breeze. When the stars are aligned. You might be wondering why my illustrated diagram of the wheel of the year seems to be flipped around, at least compared to standard diagrams you will find in related books and on the internet. I did that in order to align the astrological wheel with the solar wheel and was inspired by astrologer Zoe Hind to do that. As she explained it so well in a conversation with Laura Daligan, the two go hand in hand. Beyond the astrological alignments, if you compare the light half of the year to the rising sun, it makes perfect sense to have it facing east, and to then conversely have the dark half of the year, or the setting sun, happening in the west. Of course, these are all just symbols, the circle, the spiral, the wheel of the year, and you can interpret them in whatever way makes the most sense to you. My way is only one of many, and I encourage you to take whatever resonates with you and make it your own. Namaste. In the vastness of our universe, seemingly unknowable and often hostile, our human voices sometimes seem small and insignificant. Our spirits cry out for something more, some connection which will prove that we matter, that we exist. I can assure you that the universe, and particularly our own planet, Mother Earth, is knowable to a great extent and not hostile to those willing to listen honestly to hear her song, Lori Cabot. And that's it. That is the introductory section of the Psycho Spiritual Wheel of the Year. And, of course, you don't have the visuals. There are some pictures, some really nice photographs, courtesy of morguefile.com and stockvault.net. And then each section has an illustrator, because I don't know if you know, listening to my radio show, if you've only ever listened to me, I'm also a visual artist, and I have been an illustrator for many years. So I like to incorporate that into everything that I do. And if you want to check out the Psycho Spiritual Wheel of the Year, you can hop on board on the wheel anytime you feel like it. You can join in at any module and then still take the full year. Right now is winter transition, so we're working with shadow work and bones and death. And next up will be winter solstice. But if you want to check that out, you can go to www.psychospiritualwheeloftheyear.com. And that is it. I hope you enjoyed that and that it wasn't too robotic. I did trip over my tongue, but I figured I would do that, and I don't think I did it too much. I hope you are enjoying your weekend, and I will see y'all next Tuesday at noon. Much love. Peace.